I won't make any secret, at least in the first part of the show, that I'm definitely dragging at the beginning. The sleep number has been, despite the Sleep Train mattress, which is very helpful. Thank you. The amount, when you get a little under 4 hours of sleep in 2 days, it's going to get you.
Yeah.
But
why have you gotten so little sleep?
Because I have this. Here's the thing. I've been doing mornings now. By the way, welcome into the drive. Wow. Hi, Dave, Katie, and
Nate.
Good
morning.
Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you.
Hey, good to have you.
It's nice to be back.
Show's not the same without you.
Hey, it's not the same without you or you, Nate.
Nice try, though.
Yeah, hey, way to go there.
I don't know. Deflecting.
Who says the role as Chapman gets all the saves?
Yeah. Huh?
So I am a night guy. It doesn't matter how long I do mornings.
I am a night girl as well.
I believe people are physically. My father gets up at 4 a.m. every morning.
Wow.
Sunday through Saturday. It's just the way he is. He gets up at 4 a.m. He has my whole life. That's just how he is, a morning guy, and he's asleep on the couch in front of the TV somewhere around 7 o'clock.
Fourth
every
or fifth
night.
Inning.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so. That, my dad's a guy who my sister and I, we used to have, we grew up with one TV. Ooh, struggles. And we would, when he'd fall asleep, we'd do a thing where, like, we'd slowly turn the volume down, mm-hmm. and then we'd very quietly, and this was back when, like, you flipped the channels, you twisted clockwise.
Right, so you had to do it slowly.
Yes, very slowly. And then she and I would both, we'd do this thing where we'd get on our knees and side to side so that we'd block the light of the TV from my dad on the couch, and we'd switch it really slowly. And then we'd slowly turn up the volume. And inevitably, and I don't know how he did it, but within 60 to 120 seconds. Hey, I'm watching that.
Change it back.
Mm-hmm. Damn it. Get out of here. And that was some sort of weird sixth sense my father had. Point is, I'm a night guy. My mother's a night guy. You're a night girl. So by the time Sunday hits every weekend, Saturday night, I was up till. We had friends over, not you though, Katie, because Katie will no longer come over to my house ever.
Yikes.
Ever.
It's not true.
Not what just happened? Saturday, but Sunday was, hey, come on, have a barbecue, hang out. Da, da, da. Oh, okay, oh, I'm tired. And
I
then
was
Sunday,
very tired.
Oh, I'm tired again. And then God punished her by giving her a sickness. So that's for you being a lame friend.
Thank you.
You're
that's
well,
God's
don't thank
fault
me.
For my sickness.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's
maybe next
not
time,
how it works.
You know what? Drive over.
He's not that way.
Up till 3 a.m. Saturday, and then Sunday, I could not fall. I looked at the clock, 2 a.m. That's an hour and a half sleep right there with the 3:30 wake up. Yesterday. Couldn't do it.
I was up early for work, was not feeling very well, ended up, you know, not being able to make it in. But I had to go to the doctor early yesterday morning, and I came back, and my roommate listens to our show. I know she listens to our show. She always talks to me about it, whatever. But
hey, thank you, Desi.
I didn't realize she's not up yet, but I didn't realize what her morning schedule was like. So I had gotten back from the doctor a little after 7 o'clock, I think, and I was just, you know, sitting there, didn't feel so hot. I went to bed about 8 o'clock. So for an hour, a little less than an hour, I'm sitting there and she's eating her breakfast and she's like, you're not listening to the show? I was like, no, I'm not listening to the show. She's like, well, that's what I do every morning. She sits there on her phone, listens to the show while she has her breakfast. It's mm-hmm. like her little morning routine. And I was like pretty impressed by it. But I got in bed at 8 o'clock yesterday and woke up at 12:30.
I think Nate and I both have the same question. Yeah. Why weren't you listening to the show?
I wasn't feeling so hot.
So you're saying the show makes you feel sick?
No,
that's the implication, isn't it,
no.
Matt? Thank you, Matt.
No, I mean, I
like to think we're a healing show.
I needed to go home, or I needed to go to bed, and so there was a 45-minute time period where I was awake between coming back and whatever. So.
No, let's tell the truth. Katie was suspended because she didn't like the throwback the throwback KHTK uniforms that we had lined up for Monday.
The throwback microphones, the old ones where you put the one headphone in your ear and all that, and she came in and she chopped all the microphones
off. She wasn't
off.
Having it. Just cut them right up.
Oh.
He said, you know what? Go home for a day.
Yeah, Kevin Sherritt sent you home. We had to get all new we had to bring our old microphones back. A lot of people were anticipating the throwback mm-hmm. microphones yesterday.
We had the giveaway and the
we
whole
did.
Deal.
Yes,
I mean,
we did.
And you know what? Today I'm not apologizing because you know,
I can understand.
I'm not going to apologize
we
for standing
apologize.
Up for something I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like
you put ratings ahead
I,
of.
I feel like
everything else.
Our producer and general manager Kevin Sherritt should have had my back in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's his responsibility to stand up for his talent.
It's true.
Dave's kids aren't allowed here anymore.
That's a good point right there. Wait, why? What I do? Oh, because
that's where the joke happens.
See, I'm gonna be behind today. And here's the thing.
There you go, Matt.
The whole thing got in my mind because as I'm sitting down and doing stuff while Nate, you're doing your update to start, and you said the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman for a lot of prospects, and for seriously like 0.0004
you're like, what?
Seconds. No, I knew that, but for a split second, just enough for me to remember, I was like, who the hell is a lot of prospects? Uh-huh. Like that's a name. Yeah. Like a lot of prospects out of Cuba. Uh-huh. And he's a phenomenal shortstop.
Well, I
and I'm
know.
Like, whoa. Okay, no. I got you now.
Much like the, our favorite gentleman that the Kings seem to acquire every year, Cash Consideration.
Cash Considerations.
We love
C-squared.
Cash Considerations.
C-squared's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to you a bit later about another possible future Kings prospect that may, quote-unquote, solve their backcourt. I'll tell you. I'm trying here.
This is Team International right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, little story. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
It's
yeah.
definitely going that direction.
Get an international flavor.
Hey, you know what? If the rest
it
of the world
the
can beat Team USA three times in the history of the world, then maybe the Kings can replicate
do
that.
The thing. Oh,
they look at Nate, like, I don't know where this is going.
With camps opening up, we will continue our run through the AFC West. We talked to Charles Davis yesterday. Today we'll focus on the Broncos with Darren McKee.
Who was your focus yesterday?
Our focus was a lot on the West Wing. The TV show The West Wing.
And racial code words in draft prospect count scouting.
We really? Actually, hey. You
hey,
know,
the
you
West
know.
Wing is like one of the all-time greats.
It is. Yeah. And Charles brought
I'm
it up.
I'm glad she wasn't here, actually, because we wouldn't have gotten anything done
have
in that
ever.
Interview.
No, I'm sorry.
You know, when I was gone, I think the way that I felt about what's her lady that you guys had on, the
Emily.
Attorney. Emily.
Oh, Emily.
Is kind of like, and Nate brought this up. This is, I'm stealing from Nate here, but Charles Davis, who's always on with Grant. He's on with Grant almost once a week during the season. There's good reason why, because he's phenomenal. And if you haven't heard that, go to khdk.com. Just because it's a, like you said, we ran through the West Wing. We ran through cross-racial comparisons or lack thereof in scouting. And we talked about like Jameis Winston versus was always compared to other black guys instead of being compared to like a Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, absolutely.
You know how like the white dudes always get described as being sneaky athletic?
Yeah.
It's just like, no, dude, that guy's
athletic.
Like, he's just athletic.
And black guys just...
You're so true.
And the black guy's very well... He's well-spoken.
He's well-spoken.
Yeah, absolutely. High IQ.
Who is it that was... Maybe it was even just a stand-up bit, but it was so relevant. Like, this guy was talking about Dick Enberg doing tennis with the Williams sisters. Like, oh, you know, you sit down and you talk to them, and they're both very intelligent. To go with being like,
so it was a good conversation.
Like, you hear Dick Enberg like wanting to get out of it. He's like, "Can we go to a break now?" I sat down. I had a dinner with him, and you know you could speak with him on a variety of topics. Break soon, please.
Which Dick Enberg sounds. Dick Enberg sounds like something you'd find in Urban Dictionary, anyways.
Oh, and that is so true. So last night, I'm sure Dave, you watched a little bit of the DNC because
I did.
I saw
siren.
What's happening?
I saw a little bit of it here and there. I didn't watch it that in depth, but what came on after? Because I was working, but what came on
following
after?
The DNC, the blacklist.
Yeah, I know, right?
Love that
but
show.
American Ninja Warrior came on after. And
that's
so
on my DVR.
While I was working, it was on in the background, and I'm sitting there, and like at one point I just stopped, and I was like, "This has to be the worst. It's either the worst commentating job ever." Or it's the worst commentators ever.
Yeah, that's painful.
It's
a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is also, I think they're kind of directed to be a little stupid.
They've got that like X Games-y feel where it's really brotastic. And like you feel like you just keep waiting for the guy to say, F and A, Cotton.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the big problem, one of the big problems with the commentating on American Ninja Warrior is that it very much sounds like if Funny or Die put out a video that was spoofing American Ninja Warrior, that's what the announcers sound like. Is the announcers on that? Like they sound like they're spoofing something, but they're not
it's
really.
Painful. It's painful to listen to.
Yeah, much like the program.
Gotta feed the kids, you know.
Yeah.
Darren McKee will join us from Denver, I believe 104.3 The Drive. I always mix that up, but he's been on with us many times. D Mac and always entertaining. At 8:05, we'll talk about the Broncos. We'll talk about who reports say the Sacramento Kings are looking at to help plug the hole or holes in their backcourt. And speaking of potential Sacramento Kings, one, I guess you could call it potential king, although that's probably unfair, signed for an ungodly amount yesterday, but not for the reason you think. Aroldis Chapman, Kevin Durant's restaurant is in the news. That's kind of fun and neat and exciting. Yeah. We'll tell you what's going on there. And then, yeah, we need to dive into the whole Chris Sale thing as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. A ton of stuff to get to. A very busy show, and Katie's here, which means Nate and I talk a third less.
Aww.
Depending on how talkative she is, maybe a fourth less. And maybe a half less. I don't know.
I feel like I'm like about it full strength.
Are you full? Say to start now.
Well, right, exactly. Are you? I asked you this on the phone yesterday. I mean, obviously, I said, are you probable? Are you questionable? Are you doubtful? Are you game time decision?
I'll be in tomorrow. I'll absolutely be there.
Scale of 1 to 10. How healthy are you right now?
You know. Maybe.
No. You know, it was not between 1 and 10.
You know,
it does not go 4, 5, 6, 7, you know 9, 10.
I'm trying.
For some people, it does.
I don't know. I'm
all
good.
Right, why don't you think about it over the break, and then we'll come back and get your answer.
Stay tuned for my answer.
Hey, didn't know that was a Barbara Walters question you had to think about. On the drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. The temperature that Katie runs at is different from my temperature.
Well, of course it is. I'm a girl.
Is that a fact?
I just think we run at different temperatures.
I mean, I know it's a fact you're a girl, by the way, but...
Is that a fact?
Is that a fact? has there ever been any scientific document? I mean, it's one of those wives' tale type of facts where I think everyone kind of understands that women run colder than men.
Yeah, but you know what?
But I wonder if that's an actual fact.
Nate's always cold when I'm cold, too.
As I said. And Matt George has his A's snuggie every day.
Yeah.
But it is actually really cold in there. I'm not going to blame him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's an actual fact or not. By the way, before we actually start the show, which we have not done yet, a couple of things. Said this last week. I like doing it when we have an opportunity. With the movie next week, that's next Monday. It's coming up on us. The Godfather.
August 1st.
Not a religious movie, by the way. Yeah, August 1st. The Godfather, which Katie has not seen.
Nope.
We have partnered with Studio Movie Grill. They were nice enough to get the old VHS tape. And they're going to put it in the VCR, the last one made.
Not going to go reel to reel.
Come on. We're not that old school. Jeez, we want to have some quality. So they're going to show that on Monday, 6:30, next Monday. And we've been giving away tickets and inviting
all of you.
And it's a
3-hour movie, you say?
I think it's very close.
A little more.
Yeah, I think.
Than 3 hours?
All right, I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to guess. Hold on. I'm going to say three. Let's go with John 3:16. I'll go with 3 hours, 16 minutes is my guess at the runtime as Nate looks it up.
I've got it.
What is it?
Hold on a second. It is.
Oh, you're doing because it says minutes, doesn't it?
2 hours and 55 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, hey, under a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
Barely.
That's why.
Well,
it says
so
minutes.
Here's my question.
Let me do this first, though, because 11th caller, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 is where I was mad as Matt throws his headphone. Good at your damn phones. 339-1140. You and a friend will get an opportunity to go to the movies with Katie. You're always saying you want to take Katie out on a date. Well, here's your opportunity. Get a pair of tickets to go see The Godfather at Studio Movie Grill next Monday at 6:30. Go to studiomoviegrill.com for more details. Yes, Katie.
So my question is, normally, you know, you go to the movies and you watch a fair amount of trailers.
Yes. Oh,
so
will they have trailers?
Will they have trailers?
Because this is,
you know, obviously a movie that was released
a while ago.
You know,
if they had the original trailers.
That would be hilarious.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Like, what if we go in and we see, like, trailer? Because this was 70s or whatever, late 70s. But I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to try to remember movies in 1970, whatever. But what if we go in and there's, like, a trailer? Coming soon, Harrison Ford, who played Han Solo in Star Wars as Indiana Jones.
Indiana.
Yeah, the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Indiana.
2001, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Look into the future.
By the way, I did see the Indiana Jones series.
I'm actually a little surprised with you.
That was fantastic.
Oh, they are. All four, including Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, I don't know if I saw the fourth one.
Yeah, don't worry.
We don't talk about that. Like we watched them as a family. That was a good family show. Nothing like seeing Monkey Brains.
How old
and stuff
were you?
Like
about how old were you?
In what?
When you were watching the Indy Jones movies? if you at range.
I'm guessing, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10-ish. I don't know.
So this is where my daughter's at right now. You sat there and watched the Molram Sukaram guy pull the heart out with his hand.
Ugh. Yeah. But
can't do
nothing
that.
Could traumatize me more than I think I was like 4 or 5 when I saw Birds.
Oh, the Hitchcock movie.
Yes. So I watched it with my dad.
Yeah.
And for, I'm abs. This is not a.
What's your dad doing letting you watch the Birds at 5?
Exactly. I'm not exaggerating.
Teach me
I was
a lesson.
Mortified of birds from that point on. Like
yeah.
to the point where when we were in the car, every time I'd see a bird, I would scream like bird. And like my mom did a really good job of hitting like everything.
Bird.
Like, birds, deer, like everything. One time, but we hit a
bird.
We hit a sandhill crane once. Have you guys ever seen a sandhill crane?
And yeah.
It covered the entire windshield. And
oh, you hit one.
My mom hit it in the car. Yeah. And so, I mean, we live very rural. I mean, Nate, you got to know this. Uh-huh. Your odds of hitting something up in the boonies is fairly high.
Even not a crane.
Yeah, but they're pretty common up there. And so my mom hit one on our way to school one morning, and she pulled into the you know, little gas station in our little town of like 200 people. She goes in and she's like, John, I need you to pull the bird. I just hit a bird. Can you come and get it off my car? He's thinking that it's going to be this little like sparrow in the grill or something, and comes out, and there is a freaking sandhill crane across the entire windshield. It was not. I was terrified of birds. Thanks
well,
to that movie.
I don't blame you at all. Jeez, Lord, golly. Before we start and get into everything,
there were really good films in 1972. By the way, Marlon Brando was busy. He was also in Last Tango in Paris.
Ooh,
and Deliverance was released in 1972.
Deliverance.
I saw that in like 2003.
You saw
for the first time.
Surprised you didn't see Deliverance when you were 6.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, she lived it, dude.
I lived it.
No. I'm afraid of banjos for all my life.
You're so stupid.
I just really quick before we actually start the show again, want to.
6:24, we haven't started the show yet.
Oh, you're back. We're all catching up. Want to spotlight our good friend Grant Napier. I spent yesterday all day out at Cota Vedera for the Grant Napier Future Foundation Golf Tournament, which this is my 6th year doing it. Man, I'll tell you, I'm lucky enough to get to play in a couple of tournaments, and with no offense to any of the other tournaments I play in, which are all awesome, I think Grant's is maybe the best run. And
I heard that on Twitter, actually. I heard a lot of people talking about that, how
really
well run
is
it is. And I've got to ask you, I don't know, Nate, if you saw pictures from the tournament yesterday on Twitter. I did. I'm nominating a best dressed.
Oh, I know exactly who you're going to be nominating. And
oh,
you're
no,
100%
it's not who you think.
Really? Oh.
Brad Miller.
Brad Miller?
Yeah.
Why Brad Miller?
Because Brad Miller looked like a gigantic Easter egg yesterday. He was wearing like a yellow polo
uh-huh.
and like a yellow plaid
yes.
Shorts. And the picture I saw him in, I can't remember who he was with because he stuck out. I mean, he stuck out automatically.
Shockingly.
But he was, you know, he was playing with a bunch of short guys. And when I say short, normal size guys.
He grew his hair out. He's got a big giant beard.
Yeah. I love Brad.
Scott Pollard and his wife Dawn were, I think, probably the best dressed. Because not
oh,
only did
I didn't
they
see them.
I'll show you. You'll understand. Like that. Not if you didn't see it, then I get it. Yeah, they were not only matching, but also you know loud. Which Scott is every year. This is a guy who 1 year. What was it 3 years ago? Wore a kilt.
Yeah.
Like a. And by
of course
the way,
he did.
Followed the rules of wearing the kilt.
Oh.
At the
meaning
golf
there was it was
meaning
breezy underneath?
When a breeze blew, he was,
oh
he was
my
smiling.
Goodness.
Nice.
You know, that makes sense because I saw a picture of him on Twitter with his couple of his guys from Survivor in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So he was
yes.
in San Francisco, met up with a couple of his buddies.
He came all the way out here from Indiana,
yeah.
as did Brad, for the tournament. Yeah.
The thing a lot of people don't understand about kilts is that they're actually really warm and comfortable, even if you don't
that's
have
why,
underwear on.
That's why you
one.
Need to not
they're
have.
Super, yeah, because they're, well, obviously they're built to be worn in Scotland where
yes.
it's not exactly warm.
Good
but
point.
Like they're, you know, heavy material that
sure
yeah they definitely keep the wind
you need,
out more
you need
than
the
you
breathing
know about
yeah.
golfing in them.
So you're I saw also on Twitter that you're big into the Pokemon, like you're doing that well. I don't know how the game works.
I'm killing it, Pokemon. I won't
okay.
get into that. I mean,
well, there
I
was a I don't
talking about
we can
that.
Talk about it after the break, but there I don't know if you heard about it. There was a pretty famous person that was in an accident while playing Pokemon.
I know a guy in New York found all the Pokemon. He's like the first one. And now,
really?
And now there's a couple of international Pokemon you can't get in the United States.
Oh.
So Marriott is teaming up with them and sending them all around the
this
world to catch
crazy.
Pokemon.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, there was an accident, a pretty serious one.
Well, I got a little sidetracked, but what I'm trying to say is out there you had Vlade, Pollard, Bobby Jackson, Brad Miller, Jerry Reynolds. I got to play with a buddy of mine, Mike, Gary Gerald, and Mike Pereira.
Really?
Who, by the way, Pereira is a stick, and he can putt, and probably sunk at least. He and I were on fire putting all day long, and he ended with a 25-foot putt off the, right on the fringe, a Nate Goodyear-esque putt to finish. And the good news for us is this: Mike Pereira will be joining us often during the year. We talk quite a bit about that during the old golf tournament.
Way to connect.
Yes, a little connection made out there. Mike will join us throughout the year, and obviously we'll wax poetic about the tournament. Bottom line is this: we got a guy that works at this station. The biggest question I often get asked in radio, without a doubt, is Grant Napier an a-hole? And the answer is always the same. Well, yeah and no. If you call into a show and you act stupid, he's going to be an a-hole. But in real life, seeing these kids, and I know we got a break, Matt, here, but seeing these kids talk about going to college, that's what the Future Foundation does. This lady, a young lady who's going to college, who spoke yesterday in front of all of us, first-generation Vietnamese immigrant with a father who was sick, who ran the whole house, mother stayed home, very low-income family, extremely good grades, but just didn't have enough money. And through the Future Foundation that Grant runs, she's going to college. The amount of kids that they have sent to college through this foundation throughout the years is staggering. And the highlight of the day is always at the dinner afterwards, seeing these kids talk about where they're going, what they're doing, and where they came from. So he doesn't get a lot of credit for stuff like that. So loudmouth like me, just want to give him a shout-out since he is a part of our family. That it's just an amazing job by him. Awesome of the Kings to come out and lend their support. So many players, coaches, and staff out there. And then everybody else, a lot of the movers and shakers of the community, guys like Brad Jenkins, Phil Oates, a lot of minority owners and stuff like that, Raj Batal, who showed up. So it was good stuff. And again, a day that really makes you feel good about some of the things people are doing. It makes me feel inadequate because I don't have I don't do a foundation. I don't send any kids to college. Grant does, so I got to figure that out.
You've got two that you got to send.
It's a great point right there. When we get back, yeah, we'll get into what you were talking about, Katie. And also, we will officially start the show at 6:30, and we will talk about who might be your newest Sacramento King. There's rumors of flying. We'll tell you who next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Way one thing, one real quick thought yesterday, because it was so hot out there. I found this, one of my buddies brought, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like,
is it one of those cooling things?
Yeah, if you saw me on Twitter yesterday wearing like a I don't know how the hell you'd describe it, but kind of like a nylon, almost like a do-rag, nylon rag over my head, you just show the face. Thankful for everybody I did. It's like this tube of material, and you kind of roll it up and you put it over your neck, and then you pull it over your head after you dip it in ice water.
Yeah.
Man, did that make a difference.
It makes a big difference.
I own one of these now. I stole it from him.
I figured you went on Amazon away.
I'm going
to
get some backups because I imagine those will get rather used. I'd never worn one of these before. Nate, I could completely see you wearing one of these. It's very fun. You put it around your neck and then you pull it up. It's very stretchy after you dip it in ice water.
And it's cold.
Oh, my God. I put my hat on over it. Forget about it. Thank you.
Forget about it.
There was a report yesterday, and, you know, we don't look at every report and go, oh, this must be true. And take this with a grain of salt, but a gentleman by the name of David Pick, P-I-C-K, who is a pro basketball reporter, that's really all it says, based in Europe. I believe he's based in Europe. He put out a tweet that said, the Sacramento Kings are trying to lure Nick Calathes out of his superstar role, quote unquote, in Athens. Calathes plays for...
I hope that's not why they're trying to lure him away.
Right? Nick plays for, and it's a name that you guys will recognize because he played at the University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He played for the Memphis Grizzlies, and he played under Dave Yeager. He has, I believe, dual citizenship. He plays for Panathinaikos right now in Greece, in the EuroLeague. 27 years old. Played 2013 through 15 in Memphis, played last year in Greece. That's his second stint with Panathinaikos in Greece. And he is a point guard. That is his job.
Yeah.
I would like to focus on this report because this to me at least, and I'll take the hit, this sniffs very much to me like truth. I think this is truth.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why I could see this actually happening after you kind of let us know that you had heard something about this last night. Obviously, there's a connection there because he played two seasons in Memphis under Dave Yeager. But, you know, looking up his stats, and I'm trying really hard to remember him. And I realized when I looked
at
his stats,
look at that face.
Why I didn't really remember him. Yeah, I remember, you know, what he looks like, but I'm trying to remember his game, Nate, because that, of course, is really what matters at the end of the day, right? No.
Oh,
okay.
No, we will worry about what he looks like.
But, I mean, he, in two seasons with Memphis, he averaged, you know, 4.6 points a game. He shot a little under 30% from the three-point line, 47% from the field. But again, he is a point guard, and in a little over 15 minutes of action on average, he had under 3 assists a game. So nothing stood out to me in memory and recall of him as a player. He wasn't a huge role player on that team. I don't know what a season playing over in Greece in the EuroLeague, which is extremely competitive, by the way. I don't know what that did for him, but it just tells me there's a little bit of a worry here because point guard position is one of the things that we have been talking about for a while. They're extremely, extremely short at that position. We're still, you know, no news on what's going on with Darren Collison. And so I don't know if to a certain degree, this worries me more. Because I feel like they're grasping at straws here.
Well, I mean, yeah, this isn't a guy that's going to make a difference.
No.
So, you know, listen, you need bodies on your roster, mm-hmm. but.
I think.
Looks like a poor man's Baino.
I think what the Kings, if I'm trying to get in the mind of the Sacramento Kings and see what they might be looking at, I think one thing that's a little misleading about the stats, and I would invite anyone who wants to research this
guy. Well, he played behind Mike Conley. So you got Conley.
There you go.
I said it. Yeah, I did
yes.
it again. He played behind Mike Conley.
Yes.
And who, in my opinion, is one of the great point guards in the league and highly underrated.
Yes.
Highly underrated.
Yes.
But very important to that Memphis team. So you have to take that into consideration as well.
Yes, not what I was going to say, though. I would invite you to look up Nick Calathes' defense. And there's an article from just about a year ago. I'll read you a passage from it. For just two seasons of work in the NBA, Calathes has already made a name for himself in certain circles. Fans in the know have realized Calathes provides another source of key stops and endless energy on the defensive end. If Tony Allen is Memphis's energizer bunny, Nick Calathes is the team's fresh-out-of-college defensive intern, content to play third fiddle, but ready to put in 110% whenever the boss gives him an assignment. Like any eager young intern, Calathes has been absorbing everything Allen does on the court and attempting to replicate it during the short 14 minutes he's provided per game playing behind Mike Conley and Beno Udrich. And I'll save you the stats here, but then it goes on to do a box. And, Nate, you'll love this. I know you're very statty sometimes.
Statty.
Where it shows defensive rating, field goal percentage impact, both threes and twos. Pre and post, this was a year ago, the Tony Allen injury where Calathes was asked to step into a bigger role. I think where they're going there is a guy, and again, I'm not saying they're right, but I think the mindset is in Calathes, if that were to happen, they're going with a guy that's going to be able to spell Darren Collison, who is a true point guard depending on lineups, and is somebody who's going to be able to do what we haven't really had at the point guard spot for a while, and that is be a plus defender at that position. As you saw in the stat you just read, Katie, we're not looking at a
right.
Those
are offensive stats.
I don't want to call him the anti-Rondo because I think that would be too complimentary to Calathes, but, you know, whereas Rondo was double-double every night, led the NBA in assists, blah, 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 Nick's probably not going to score a ton, and he's probably not going to show up a lot in the box score, but they can throw him in there in situations to get some extra defense in the backcourt.
The one thing that you can look at in terms of changes in the approach to the makeup of the Kings for this upcoming NBA season is an obvious stress that they have on shoring up the defensive side of the
ball.
It's
going to be a much better defensive team.
It's going to be a much better defensive team.
You guys,
now,
but we're sitting here talking each other into Nick Calathes.
Are you kidding me? No. I promise you, and I tried to disclaim this, and I apologize if I didn't do a good enough job. I'm tired. But all I was saying there is this is what I think they're thinking.
This is what he does. This drives me nuts. Like, not that we're having this discussion, but, I mean, this is where we are with this team. Like, this is sad. Yeah. Nick Calathes, you guys?
And we're trying to,
hey, this is our big fix at point guard. We've gone out and gotten Garrett Temple, who may not be a point guard. You're chasing Nick Calathes, who wasn't even playing in the NBA. What are they doing?
Yeah, no, I understand the concern. But I also look at this in the sense that makes me feel a little bit better, because defensively he played 2 years in the league. I know that he's not inept at playing in the league, but the great thing about it is defensively, if he can come in and make an impact, when you're playing alongside DeMarcus Cousins, you don't have to be an offensive wizard at point guard to be able to make something happen with the offense.
NBA player,
but I'll say this.
Guys, we'll keep an eye on this story, and we got to continue this throughout the break, because we have to break. We're way behind right now. We'll continue your comments, Katie, when we get back. Also, a question about Kings signings and also Kings non-signings, as there was a move in the NBA yesterday that indirectly kind of involved the Sacramento Kings. We'll ask those questions next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, Katie, I have something I need to tell you, because I missed you yesterday.
Say it really robotically.
I didn't get a chance to say this. D-Mac coming up at 8:05 to talk Broncos. That wasn't it.
Okay.
Monster Energy's Aftershock concert.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming to Sacramento.
It's going
to
be here.
October 22nd, 23rd.
I've heard about that.
We talked about this yesterday at length. Katie, you missed this. Discovery Park. It's got Tool Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. I really think I'm going. I'm definitely going.
Really?
I think we should all go. I do. I think that will be a fun.
I'm going to go. The big Core Dog is going to be in town. He doesn't miss an aftershock.
I'll get stupid
and he'll watch me.
Tickets on sale.
No fun.
More info, aftershockconcert.com.
Sounds like a job to me. You paying him?
Dude, listen, I spent the first 2 years of our friendship.
By the way, Nate's talking about Corey, who used to work with us on the morning show.
Yeah.
I spent
AKA
the first
Mike
two
D.
years of our friendship keeping an eye on him.
Absolutely. You've got some money in the bank, huh, with him, and you're ready to spend it.
Built it up.
We talked in the last segment, and Katie, you were thoughtsing. We went to break and rudely interrupted you.
Call her a thought.
A thought.
Just thoughting away over there.
Thoughting away.
we were talking about a report that says the Kings are currently trying to woo. Which is now a funny word.
Woo. Heat on my rug.
Nick Calathes from Panathinaikos, 27-year-old point guard out of Florida, played for the Memphis Grizzlies. There's a lot of ties there with he and Jaeger, and you were thoughting about it.
Well, yes. I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the defensive side of things.
By the way, Greek defensive player of the year.
Yo.
Yeah.
How about that? So, thank you. The text line always comes through for us.
Hey, when was the last one of those that had success in the NBA, huh?
Greek defensive player of the year?
You know what, Nate? There you go. There you go, nating again.
His name was Dennis Rodman, Nate.
Probably
not true.
I appreciate the fact that that this front office has focused on adding defensive players in the offseason. And we all know what Dave Yeager's teams in Memphis were known for. It was their defense, absolutely not their offense. I also think a little bit of that is because that was the personnel that was there when Dave Yeager took over. So I think that when you look at his out-of-bounds plays and things like that he draws up, he offensively, I think, has a lot more to offer than we ever knew possible. So I'm excited for that. But when we look at what's happening, there's a degree where I'm a little bit concerned and worried, because as teams are, you know, we've already gone through free agency, teams are signing people, and there's still a couple names on our roster that we all said and have assumed the entire time would not be here once the 2016-17 season started, and they're still on that roster, and that is Rudy Gay and Ben McLemore. So I've been assuming the entire time that they would use that value in those two players to bring in a point guard, someone that they can shore up that point guard position, because there's still so many question marks surrounding it. So I look at, okay, Nick, from a defensive standpoint, sounds like he might be a good get if that does, in fact, end up happening, and that's what sources are saying, and your sources,
your source, Dave, has said.
But I still am a little concerned because it's not the answer. You know that's not the answer.
Well, no. No, I don't think and that, but I'm concerned.
I'm concerned in the lack of movement of Ben and Rudy. And Rudy has and should still have a bunch of value for an NBA team. I know Vlade is very patient, it appears, and he doesn't really pay attention to a lot of the kind of noise outside about what all of us are saying and so on and so forth. But that is a huge question mark to me. And we're sitting here about to enter August, and training camp's going to be here before you know it. At this point, do we think that Rudy and Ben are still going to be on that roster?
I wonder, because I think we're all thinking no, but I wonder what kind of deals he's gotten and what exactly he thinks is going to be the right deal. Because let's look at those assets. I mean, I don't think you're going to get blown away with any return. You don't want to make a deal just to make a deal. But, I mean, don't you kind of get the feeling
you don't want
that,
cash consideration?
Well, I mean, gosh, the way that...
He's a heck of a player.
The way that Ben McLemore has been playing. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that one, too, because on one hand, too, he could just be letting free agency completely settle out before teams. But I mean, there's just a disturbing lack of anything. And the fact that, listen, like Nick Calathes might be a decent player. He might be a good defensive player and his personality might fit what they're trying to shift towards. But the reality is, like, their selling point right now is they have to go overseas and go to guys and say, hey, at least we can bring you back to America. Because the dudes that are free agents here,
at this point in the year, though, at this point in the offseason where free agency has really kind of wrapped up, and there's going to be moves obviously made and we're still going to hear things, but the majority of it has already gone. What do you think you can get at this point?
Well, we'll talk about that next, including somebody they maybe could have gotten. We'll delve a little further into that with a signing yesterday and breaking Kings news. This is very interesting. This isn't a roster move. I don't want to falsely tease people, but I think this is very, very cool. Just announced going on with the Golden One Center. They've given something a name, and I absolutely love it. We'll take a break. We'll tell you what next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHGK.